Okay, today's shir is sponsored by the Gantz family in memory of Yehuda Eliezer ben Avraham, Yehuda Gantz, alav hashalom, on the occasion of his yahrzeit. And the series as a whole is sponsored by Jake and Karen Abelevitz, Le'ilu Nishmas, Jake's parents, Eliyahu ben Abba, and Leah Bels Avraham. And in the merit of our learning together, may all the neshamas indeed have a tremendous aliyah. All right, we are at the beginning of a new Sefer Shmos. And I would like to focus on a well-known story as a point of departure for our topic this morning. The title of the shir is Moshe and the Sheep, Two Midrashim and One Extraordinary Leader. So there is a well-known medrash about Moshe Rabbeinu and the sheep, which we'll get to in a second. But really what I'd like to talk about today are the qualities that make Moshe Rabbeinu apparently the proper leader for Klal Yisrael. And those qualities, which are important not only for Moshe as a leader, but clearly the Torah is projecting that these are important qualities for any Jew to try to assimilate within their own life experience. So if you have with you the Chumash, look at the Chumash. If not, I'm going to share my screen with you in a moment. There we go. Okay. So let's take a look here at the Pasuk at Perek Gimel, chapter 3, the beginning of the Perek. And this is when Moshe is already living in the house of Yisro, and he encounters Hashem. So let's start here. It's on the left-hand side of your screen. Moshe ha-yaro'eh. I just ask if everybody can put themselves on mute so we can cut out the background noise. Moshe ha-yaro'eh es tzon Yisro chosno kohen midyan. Okay, so Moshe was, I'm sharing my screen back with you again. Just no. Okay. And Moshe was shepherding his father-in-law's flock, Vayinhages Hatzon Achar Hamidbar, and he led the flock across the desert, Vayavo al Har Elohim Choreva, and he comes to the mountain of Hashem, Chorev, Vayera Malach Hashem Elav Belabat Esh, and an angel of Hashem appeared to him in a ball of fire, Mitoch Hasneh, from the bush, right, so the bush, the burning bush, Vayar, Vihineh Hasneh Boer Ba'esh, Vahasneh Einanu Ukal. And he sees that the bush is alight, but it is not being consumed. Yomer Moshe asura na ve'ereh. Moshe says, let me go check it out. Madu ala yivar asneh. Bayar Hashem kisar leros. When Hashem knows, when Hashem sees that Moshe is taking notice, so then Hashem speaks to Moshe, and the story proceeds. I want to focus on this opening pasuk here. Moshe hayaro es tzon Yisro. He was shepherding his father's sheep, his father-in-law's sheep. Vayinhages tzon achar yamidbar, and he led them across the wilderness. Vayavo al har Elohim choreva, and he comes to Chorev. So it is on this pasuk that we have a couple of midrashim. The problem that with this pasuk is that the Torah tells us that Moshe was shepherding his sheep. And it is in that context that he has this vision, this encounter with Hashem. And the question that the Mefarshim, or the problem that the Pasuk proposes is, you know, I always say, if you can delete this Pasuk, would the story read any differently? And on the face of it, the story would not be damaged at all. So we don't know that Moshe was shepherding his father-in-law's sheep across the wilderness. So what? The main thing is Vayavol Har Elokim. He comes to the mountain of Hashem. So clearly there is something important here. On a pshat level, Moshe was shepherding his father-in-law's sheep, who was the and his father-in-law was the Kohen Midian. So what this starts off with telling us is that Moshe was a nobody. Moshe was a nobody. His father-in-law was Kohen Midian. Now, you know, I know people that their fathers are CEOs or owners of major companies, and the son or the son-in-law goes into the family business. Now, sometimes the son-in-law or son starts off at the mail room and works his way up, but at the end of the day, you know, the Trump kids, they might have started out in the mail room, but you know, they're all executives in the Trump organization. You know, you have a parent or father-in-law, a father that's in a major position. You're usually not a nobody unless you choose to be. So the first thing that the pshat of this pasuk tells us is that Moshe was a nobody. His father-in-law was Kohen Midian, and he was a shepherd. Now, whether that was by choice or by force, at the end of the day, he was living a humble life of a shepherd. And it is that context that the pshat tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu's encounter with Hashem begins. There are other significant moments in Moshe Rabbeinu's life that you might have thought would have been the trigger for which Hashem would have encountered Moshe. What might some of those pivotal moments have been, if you think before this moment in time? No?
Moshe was saved from Paro.
Okay, Moshe was saved from Paro. In other words, when he runs away from Paro, having killed the Mitzri, so he runs away. Okay, so maybe that would have been a pivotal moment in the context of his having shown some significant heroism. Okay, what else? Any other pivotal moments that Hashem could have appeared to Moshe? Barbara, you're always good for a thought.
Well, I was thinking of the same thing when he killed the Mitzri, and it was a very heroic act because he was saving, an Eved Ivri.
Okay, who else any other acts of heroism that Moshe performed? Obviously the answer is yes. Can we just quickly recall, other than saving the Jew from the Mitzri, where else did Moshe step in?
Later on when he saves the daughters of Yitro.
Okay, good. That's a perfectly good time. He saves the daughters of Yisro from the advance of these tough shepherds. So that would have been a perfectly good time for Hashem to step in. Where else, if any?
When he gave Shabbos to Bnei Yisrael.
Well, that's not in the pshat of the psukim at this point. Maybe later on, but that's Shabbos later on is like way, way later, right?
Oh.
Right. So he saves a Jew from a Mitzri. He steps in when two Jews are beating up one another. That's another good point. As was just said, another pivotal moment is when he saves the daughters of Yisro from the other shepherds. Those are all perfectly good moments where Moshe shows a certain type of character that could warrant. But al pi pshat, at least according to the pshat, what is significant is none of those times, or none of those times are sufficient. But here, when Moshe is Roetzon Bamidbar, he's just a nobody, a nothing, a garnished, when his father is Kohen Midian, that warrants Moshe Rabbeinu's potentially encountering Hashem. So al pi pshat, it seems that one very important mida of Moshe Rabbeinu's leadership skills is something which is counterintuitive today. Today, I think most people think that, you know, who do you need as a leader? Somebody that's going to be strong and powerful, maybe even, you know, bombastic, can stand, can stand up to you know, can speak truth to power, can, you know, tough, you know. But apparently in the Torah that's not sufficient, or that's not it at all. But Moshe Rabbeinu's humility, chosen or forced, in the context of his father-in-law being the Kohen Midian, that's worthy. Okay, so let's take a look here then at so that's al pipshat what this pasuk seems to be doing here. Yeah, go ahead, Esther.
I think that it was a perfect time, actually. I know that, sure, you can have somebody who's a tough bird and is the leader, but when my mother used to say, with honey, you get money, Moshe Rabbeinu was Roetzon, so he showed that he was able to take care of his sheep, and they were fine, and he took them all the way across the Midbar, the kindness, and his humility is what Hashem actually liked. Because Hashem said, and that was the thing that made Moshe Rabbeinu above everyone, that Hashem spoke to him, you know,
right,
in front of
okay
front.
Very good. Okay, so
also,
yeah, go ahead.
I was just saying sort of a parallel between Moshe and Yosef, that, you know, Yosef was in Paro's house, you know, in land for so many years and still was true to Hashem. And here, even though Yitro was Kohen Midian, I mean, he was a very influential person in Avodah Zarah, and yet Moshe was still loyal to Hashem, possibly.
Right. Well, he wasn't loyal to Hashem yet because there was no encounter with Hashem. So we can't talk. I don't think it's fair to talk about loyalty. But I think, but to take your point, I will say that, you know, when I was in private industry, a guy once told me that there's a difference between buyers and sellers, right? You know, buyers tend to be, and if anybody here is a buyer in their company or in their profession, I'm sure it doesn't apply to you. But buyers tend to be arrogant people, and sellers tend to be more accommodating. Because a seller has to convince the buyer to buy. And the buyer is sitting there with all the power. Right? So Moshe Rabbeinu was a buyer. Moshe Rabbeinu, or he could have been a buyer. He grew up in the house of Paro. He had everything coming to him. He was an entitled person by dint of his experience. There was no reason by dint of his experience that he had to go out and do anything for anybody. He could have sat there and had you know, Egyptian mistresses feeding him grapes, but he didn't. And then when he runs away, he shows that he is capable not just of not being the son of the king of Egypt, the prince of Egypt, but that he is perfectly capable of living the life of a roeh. You know, there's nothing here in the psukim that say how Moshe struggled. You know, he's used to eating off of fine china and silverware, and now he has to eat on pottery and you know, and stone, you know, and stoneware. So no, but apparently Moshe slipped into this position seamlessly, which says a lot about anybody that they can live a life of humility. But even more so for Moshe, who's coming from a life of you know, the life of the palace. Okay, but there's a problem here in the pasuk that is not solved by the pshat entirely, but the Medrash takes a stab at it also, and that's not only that he was roetzon, that he was humble, but vayinhages hatzon achar hamidbar. Who cares that he was taking the tzon achar hamidbar? So here there are two midrashim. One is a more famous medrash, and one is the less famous medrash. We're going to start with the more famous medrash first, even though I just scrolled up and I lost the place. But we're going to start with the more famous medrash first. Okay, and it's the medrash which is cited by Rashi. Hold on. Okay, if I can find it quickly, fine. If not, I'll just say it because we all know it, or I'm sure many of us know it. Let's send it through here. How do we find it? Here we go. All right. So here's the famous Medrash. Amru Rabboseinu. Whoops. Try that again. Here we go. Amru Rabboseinu, top of the line over here. If I click on it, then it's going to mess up the view on your page. So I'm sorry, I can't highlight it right now. Amru Rabboseinu, but I'll put my cursor. Kishahaya Moshe Rabbeinu Alav HaShalom Ro'et Tzono Shel Yisro Bamidbar. When Moshe Rabbeinu was shepherding the sheep of Yisro in the wilderness, Barach Mimenu Gedim. This is the famous Medrash kids learn when they're in preschool. That a sheep ran away from him. Viratz Acharav Ad Shehigi Lachasis. Kevan Shehigi Lachasis Nizdamda Lo Brecha Shomayim. And he ran, the sheep ran and ran and ran, and he chased after them until he came to a chasis, which is some type of a pool of water. And there he was thirsty, and he started drinking from the water. Kevan Shehigia Moshe Etzlo, Moshe catches up to him. Amar, and he says to himself, Ani lo ha'isi yodea sheratza ha'isa mipnei tzam. I didn't realize that you were running away because you were thirsty. Ayefata, you are clearly tired. Hirkivo al kesefa v'hayamahalech. So Moshe Rabbeinu put a little shepsel around his shoulders and carried him back. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Yesh l'cha rachamim linhog tzano shel basar v'adam. You have the capability, the rachmanus, the compassion, to lead sheep of human beings. Kachayecha atatira tzoni Yisrael. So, I swear, as it were, Hashem is taking a vow that you will be the shepherd of my flock, B'nai Yisrael. Moshe haya roe, and that's what it means, that Moshe was roe tzon, and that he marched these tzon across the Midbar. Okay, that's the famous Medrash. So, that's Medrash number one. But there is Medrash, quite a few Medrashim, but I'm just going to give you Medrash number two here. Medrash number two. One second. Medrash number two. One second. Here we go. All right. Let's try it again. Okay, there we go. Okay, so Medrash number two is on the same pasuk, and the Torah says the following right over here. Hashem Tzadik Yivchan, right over there. Hashem Tzadik Yivchan, God tests the righteous. Bimir Etzon, with the sheep. So how does Hashem test the sheep? So there were two people that Hashem tested. Badak le David batzon umitzor roa yafe. God tested David and found him to be a good shepherd, as it says, vayikachehu mimichlaot tzon. Mahu mimichlaot tzon. What does it mean, mimichlaot tzon? Vayikale hageshem. It comes from the same word as kale, from kale geshem, meaning Hayamoneya hagidolim ipnei haketanim, v'hayamotzi haketanim liros, k'dei shiru esav harach, v'achar kach motzi hazakenim k'dei shiru esav habenonis, v'achar kach motzi habachurim shiru ochlin esav hakasha. So he took out the various sheep, and the old ones, the young ones, the little ones. Each one was given to pasture at its appropriate time. Okay. What about Moshe? V'yaf Moshe. Moshe lo bachnu HaKadosh Baruch Hu el abatzon. Amar Rabboseinu kisha... Oh, sorry, that's the beginning of this one. One second, guys. Here it is. I apologize. Harei lecha shnei gedolei olam shebadkan HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There are two great leaders that God tested them, checked out their bona fides with sheep. And they are David and Moshe Rabbeinu. So Shabbat kanu b'davar katan, he checked them out with something which is a very seemingly small matter. V'nimtzu ne'emanim v'helan l'gedula. Because they showed great integrity in a small matter, in a tiny matter, God raised them to levels of great distinction. So they are David and Moshe. Badak David batzon velo nahagam elav amid bar laharchika min agazel. David, Hashem checked him out with the sheep, in that David shepherded his sheep and made sure that they did not graze on property that did not belong to him. His sheep did not steal. You know, I remember years ago I was on a group tour in Israel, and the group leader took us to a vineyard, just on the side of the road, to see how vines grow and to compare it to how it's described in Tanakh. And it was really, you could really see how the Tanakh describes, a person living under his vine in the way grapes are actually grown. And while we were sitting there, one of the participants in the tour, one of the members of the tour, the participants, started picking grapes off of the and eating them. Now, nobody asked permission, didn't belong to them, but apparently they didn't feel it was a problem to eat grapes that didn't belong to them. It was a big deal. I mean, it was a grape. I'm sure, it was probably worth, 10 cents or less. But nevertheless, it's not right. And this is what Hashem tested David HaMelech. David HaMelech was tested, but that in that he took his sheep to graze, and he made sure that they didn't graze off of property that didn't belong to him. Badak leDavid batzon velo nahagam ela bamidbar laharchika min hagazel. David took him out to the wilderness, so that way there would be no possibility of thievery of stealing property that didn't belong to him. Shkena liav omer leDavid, and this is backed up in the psukim. And similarly, v'chein hu omer, right over here, v'chein hu omer b'Moshe. Similarly, this has happened with Moshe, and that's our pasuk. Vayinhages hatzon achar hamidbar. It's not just that he was a shepherd, it's how he conducted himself with the sheep. And he conducted him with the sheep just like David HaMelech later on. Lahotzia min hagezel, he took them out to the wilderness so that way there would be no possibility that the sheep would graze off of private property and be stealing from private property. Ulekacho HaKadosh Baruch Hu liros Yisrael, and thus Hashem took him to be the leader of Klal Yisrael. So we have two midrashim here. And each midrash tells us something about how he conducted himself with the sheep. This pasuk, which is the prelude to Moshe Rabbeinu encountering with God, holds within it the significant criteria that triggered God's encountering Moshe. And the midrash is telling us, you want to know what the criteria are? It is embedded here in the pasuk, how Moshe dealt with the sheep. So one medrash says that he dealt with the sheep in such a kind, caring way. Moshe was a man of compassion. But what do we get from this other medrash? What do we get from this medrash about taking them through the wilderness? What's the quality? What's the character trait that Chazal are pointing out here?
Honesty.
Okay, honesty. Not just honesty, but honesty in a situation that could have been covered up. Like, so it's not just honesty, it's integrity. Because Moshe Rabbeinu, when your sheep are on the side of the road, maybe they'll lead a little bit, who's really going to notice? Who's going to notice? We're not talking about city life where there are people that are walking around all the time. So, but he took him out to the midbar. So it is honesty, it's integrity, it is doing justice, it's doing the right thing, even when nobody's around to notice. So you have here two components. Moshe is a man of compassion, as reflected in the midrash about his taking care of the shepsel. And then Moshe is about a man of justice, about din. Okay? There's another quality here. Think about the two stories. Can anybody think of any other qualities?
Rabbi?
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
I don't know if you heard me. what you just said are both ends of the spectrum. Compassion and din.
Okay, good. Chesed and din. Compassion and din. But I want to add another layer. Does anybody see any other layers here in the Midrashim? Right? Midrash isn't just telling you a story, a made-up story. It's trying to flesh out here what are the character traits of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's why they're commenting on the pasuk altogether.
And Rabbi, could it be also that Moshe and David both acted with alacrity and acted? They just didn't sit back and wait. They rose to the a kind of clarion call when they saw something.
Right.
Proceeded to take
action. Excellent. Excellent. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu could have been Sheval Tase. Just, you know, pass. Okay, a sheep ran away. Big deal. You know, first of all, it's not my sheep anyway. It's my father-in-law's sheep. So it's a big deal. Sheval Tase. You know, I'm not actively doing anything to steal from my father-in-law, but I should get off of my behind and run after this thing. So the fact that the Medrash is pointing out to this notion of alacrity, of action, okay? Anything else?
Yeah, I'm finding something interesting, actually.
Go ahead.
But not related to what you said.
Okay, if it's not related, does it come from the Medrash? If it comes from the Medrash, fine. If it's something else, we'll save it for later.
I don't know. But you know what? I find it interesting that it says, Vayinaheg es etzon achar ha-midbar, and then Moshe Rabbeinu took care of the Jews for 40 years through the midbar.
Right. Okay, good.
That's what I want. Is that okay?
It's a perfectly beautiful point. So we have three things so far from this Medrash. Number one is chesed. Number two is din. Number three is MS, right? MS, integrity. And number four is maisa, action. Action and you could say zrizo, so, you know, alacrity as well. In both cases, in the case of the shepsel, he took action. And in the case of the making sure that the animals don't graze off of somebody else's property. That's also, you know, he could have taken to the regular spots and, okay, so if a sheep goes, you know, he's not bringing them to somebody else's property actively to steal. But, you know, but if a sheep wanders off a little bit and grazes on the side of the road, what's the big deal? What's the big deal? No. So we see that Moshe Rabbeinu is a man of action. Now, where does the Medrash get? The Medrash is overlaying this onto the Pasuk. Is this just simply the fanciful imaginations of Chazal creating a story and implanting beautiful character traits on Moshe Rabbeinu? Or does Chazal have some basis for it? And of course, my answer is going to be Chazal have a basis for it. But yeah, go ahead, Barbara.
Abraham.
What?
It reminds me of Abraham. Puzzled his camels, so they shouldn't graze in.
Right. No. But what I'm saying is, like, maybe Moshe Rabbeinu was, you know, I don't want to, you know, use a, you know, sort of not nice words here. Maybe Moshe Rabbeinu was a jerk. You know, how do they know that Moshe Rabbeinu was a good guy? He was a man of MS, but because it says that he was Vayinhag Tzono Bamidbar. Okay. So humility, I got that. That comes from the pshat. But these other layers that Chazal are foisting on Moshe Rabbeinu, is this just the fanciful imaginations of Chazal, or is it rooted in the Psukim? And I would suggest that it's rooted in the Psukim. And that's where I want to go now. Yeah.
I think he went me'al me'eva. Right. So that's another quality that he had, that he, trying to think of the word, but...
Yeah, he went with Nimeshur Sadin. He went beyond where it was necessary. Okay. So I want to go back now. If you have your Chumashim in front of you, we're going to do a bunch of reading now, and I want to go back to some important psukim. We don't know a lot about Moshe Rabbeinu. We only have a few psukim that tell us about Moshe Rabbeinu, but if we think about it, if we look through the psukim, there's actually a lot that we can find about Moshe Rabbeinu. So let's start here. I'm going to share my screen with you. Again, if you have your Chumashim, it's better. But if not, I'll share my screen. So let's go back to the beginning of the Sedra. Let's see what we can tease out here from the psukim. Go back to beginning of. All right, all the way back to the beginning here. Well, not exactly back to the beginning. Now, people are, it's a modern concept, but I think that Chazal, or anybody who looks at the Psukim carefully, will see that it's not entirely a modern concept. And that is the concept of nature versus nurture, of environment versus innate capabilities. So Moshe Rabbeinu was impacted. He both had inner qualities, but he also, his life experience and his environment impacted him quite a bit. So if you look at the first parak of, and that's where I'm going back here, okay, and I'm stopping to scroll, so if it's making you dizzy, let's pick it up from right here. Vayavidu Mitzrayim is Bnei Yisrael b'farach. This is Parak Aleph, Pasuk Yud Gimel. Mitzrayim began to persecute the Jewish people and make their lives bitter. Vayomer Melech Mitzrayim lami yaldosa evrios. And Melech Mitzrayim tells the Jewish midwives, Asher Shema HaShifra V'Shema Shenis Pua. And Chazal tell us that Shifra and Pua are Yocheved and Miriam. Assuming that, we're going to go with that, and we're going to assume that to be true. So Vayomer Be'alat Chenes HaYerviyos Urisim HaSayiv Nayim V'atirena HaMiyaldos HaSayi Elohim V'lo Asuk HaShar Diber Alehan Melech Mitzrayim V'tachayana HaSayiladim. So the Miyaldos are told that they have to kill the Jewish boys, and the Miyaldos save the Jewish boys. So here we have two women, two important women in Moshe Rabbeinu's life, who are women that demonstrate extraordinary chesed, a chesed that is born in some measure of courage, but chesed. It's about these two women that are engaged in chesed, saving Jewish children from death. Okay? Now, assuming that these two women are indeed Yocheved and Miriam, and even if they're not, but certainly if they are, these are two very important influences on Moshe Rabbeinu's life. And so these two women are women of chesed, of compassion, and it is likely that they had an impact on Moshe Rabbeinu as well. But the story doesn't end there. Who else is an important person here? Vayitev elhim la miyaldos, vayarev ha'am vayatzmu ma'od. And the Miyaldos do their wonderful deeds. Now, Moshe Rabbeinu's life is now, we get into the biography of Moshe Rabbeinu. So even though Parak Aleph has individuals who have later on an impact on Moshe Rabbeinu, but Moshe the boy, but now we get into a more direct description. So there was a man from Levi who married a woman from Levi, Vatara Isha Vateled Ben, and the woman got pregnant and she has a child, Vatera Oso Kitovu Vatitzbeneu Shlosha Yerachim. So in these two, she gets pregnant. She sees that he is special. She hides him for 3 months. Pasuk 3, v'lo yachla od hatzpino. She does not is unable to continue hiding him. Vatikach lo tevas gome. She puts him in a tevas gome. Vatach merah b'chamir v'zevis v'tasem bas hayeled v'tasem basuf al svas hayor. She takes him. She puts him in the teva, she places him in the ark, and then we go on to his sister. So before we get to his sister, so his mother Yocheved here shows great rachmanus, right? She goes, she first of all she shows rachmanus, but she also shows action and heroism here. Right, she is saving the child, or doing her best to save him. But as was said before, she also shows tremendous alacrity here, tremendous action. She's not just getting by and going, okay, the rules are the rules, and this is what it is, and this is what, okay, so whatever, we'll just get along as best we can. No, she takes matters into her hands. Vayelach ish mi beis Levi. Her husband, Vayikach es bas Levi. So I don't want to leave him out entirely. He does take action to get married, although Chazal tell us that it was really, it was the woman, it was the women and the woman who really force the, you know, the matter, but okay, you know, he stepped up and he got married, even though there was much depression and there was a lot of reason just to sit back and fall into depression. He didn't, right? But after that moment of inspiration, everything is on the woman here. Even the way it says it, "Vatahar ha'isha vateled ben," that she got pregnant and she had a child. I mean, obviously she didn't. This wasn't immaculate conception. Her husband played a role here, but clearly she's the one who's really credited with taking all the action. So here we have again chesed, right? And we have a person of great action, the way the Torah reports it. Clearly, Yocheved is going to have an impact on Moshe as well. Yeah, go on.
So why mentioned? Because whenever it means it's an important thing, and for what they were doing, I mean, why didn't the Torah mention the names of Amram and Yocheved? I'm just curious.
Good question. Not for today's shir, but good question. She couldn't stand any further, and she does all the actions necessary, and she puts him on the river to save him. And then we have another person, his sister, and his sister is standing there as well to see la dea ma ye aselo. So the sister is also a person of significance here. She stepped up to see what was going to happen. If a Jew would save him, if a Mitzri would save him, you know, she's her stance here is noted by the Torah as a measure of action and some measure of courage here as well. And Chazal pick up on it and tell us all the amazing things that Miriam did. That Miriam encouraged her parents to have more children, and Miriam encouraged her parents not to fall into depression and to despair. And even when things seemed gloomy, she was the one who told her father not to despair, and she convinced him as such. So Chazal understand that Miriam was also a person of great courage, and that's I think highlighted here in the pshat of the pasuk. Vatered bas paro lirchotz al hayor. So far there are two women who show great compassion and great courage, and they are great influences, and they could certainly be great influences on Moshe Rabbeinu. The Mialdos, assuming they're Yocheved and Miriam, Yocheved and Miriam in the early life of Moshe Rabbeinu. Vatered bas paro, and now bas paro, a third important woman in Moshe Rabbeinu's life. So Vatered bas paro, she goes down to lirchotz, to bathe. V'naroseh ha'olchos al yad ha'or. Vateres ha'teva batof ha'suf ha'tishlach ha'samasa v'tikacheha. And she sees the teva, and she sends her ama, which according to the pshat is her maidservant, to go get her. Now, this is significant. V'tiftach v'tir'ehu v'hinei banar bocheh v'tachmol alav. She opens. Again, look how the pasuk describes it. She doesn't just say to her maidservant, "Go get that thing out of the river and tell me, tell me what's in it. If there's anything significant, you let me know." No, she's like totally involved here. Vatiftach, she opens it. Vatir ehu, she sees the child clearly. V'hinei nar bocheh, v'tachmol alav. V'tomer miyaldei ha'ivrim zeh. So here you have Bas Paro knowing full well that this is a Jewish child, and she has Rachmanos. So here you have a third woman in Moshe Rabbeinu's life, a significant woman in his life, who displays both chesed, extraordinary kindness, maisa, action, alacrity, zrizus. And so when Chazal later on read that pasuk about Moshe and the sheep, and we have these midrash about Moshe and the sheep, about how Moshe is a man of alacrity and action and kindness, and this is not coming from nowhere. Chazal have fodder for which to describe Moshe this way. Let's go on. Vatomer achosol bas paro. The Miriam says to Paro, Ha'elech v'karasi l'cha isha meinekes mina ivrios v'teniklas hayalad. Here again, when you're in a royal household, you speak when spoken to. There is no spoken to here. She just speaks up, right? We remember when Esther Hamalka, you know, she goes into the palace of the king. You don't just speak up. You know, you're a nothing. You're a nobody in the palace of the king, or in the royal household. But Miriam speaks up. Tomer la Baspar, and Baspar says, "Yeah, go find me somebody who's going to nurse this child." And she does so. Okay, so that is stage one in Moshe Rabbeinu's life. All women, all chesed. Chesed born in Gvura, but chesed, no doubt. But Moshe Rabbeinu in these midrashim is not just a man of chesed. He's a man of din, as Barbara correctly said. He's a man of din. He's not going to let, right? The first midrash is primarily about chesed. But there's also din there. He's not gonna let his father-in-law's sheep go off. He has a responsibility. He has a duty. The just, the right, the correct thing to do is to go after and save that sheep. It's not, I'm an employee. I can't steal from the office. And that's what Moshe says. I can't let this go by. Din. But the other medrash is really about din with a little chesed. Right, it's all about Moshe Rabbeinu making sure that the sheep do not graze on property that does not belong to him. That is din. That is din. I forgot to say, there's also physical gvura. He takes the sheep and he runs after the sheep and he puts the sheep over his shoulders. So in addition to everything else we said in those midrashim, it also points out Moshe's physical prowess, his physical strength. Okay, so now let's go to the second stage of Moshe Rabbeinu's biography. And here the women fade into the background. And this is a story of men. Moshe Rabbeinu grows up and he goes out amongst his brethren. And he sees an Ish Mitzri, Make Ish Ivri, hitting a Jewish man. Yifen Ko Vako. Moshe Rabbeinu turns right and left. He sees that there is no one who is going to take responsibility. Vayaches HaMitzri Vayitminehu Bachol. And he kills the Mitzri. And he buries the Mitzri. Now, here we have Moshe Rabbeinu as an Ish of emes, an ish of justice. And there is chesed here as well, of course, but clearly he's an ish, this is a man of din, of justice, and a man of physical gvura, a physical gvura. So here you have a guy, he's stepping in to save his brother, you know, his countryman, his co-religionist. Vayaches HaMitzri,
one second.
He smites the Mitzri, Vayitmenehu Bachol, and he buries the Mitzri. Now, usually, I think the people usually read that pshat of that pasuk is that Moshe Rabbeinu is trying to cover up his deed so nobody will know. But I think, possibly, Vayitmenehu Bachol is saying that Moshe Rabbeinu is living up to his to a character of din and chesed, of justice. It's true that he killed the guy because that was what was apparently deserved, but he didn't just let him lie on the dirt and rot. He did the ultimate kindness. He could have thrown him in the bushes. It doesn't say that he threw him in the bushes. It says vayitmineu bachol. He buried him. What do we call burying another person? That's chesed shel emes. It's a kindness that can never be repaid. Moshe Rabbeinu here performs a chesed shel emes. But it's also din. It's the right thing to do. You know, you don't just let a person lie on the side of the road. Right? There is a certain justice here. So Moshe Rabbeinu is engaged primarily in justice. But there's also chesed here as well. Yeah, go ahead, Esther. Or Gail, Gail, go ahead.
Yeah, by killing the Egyptian and burying him, I would think, and I heard this from other shiurim, that he was actually killing
off the Egyptian part of himself.
All right. That's a beautiful pshat. That's a beautiful drash. I'm looking at the pshat of the psukim here to pull out character traits of Moshe Rabbeinu. And what I'm arguing here is that the two midrashim about the sheep, which are laden with all types of things about how Moshe Rabbeinu were not spun out of thin air, but as we look at the psukim about Moshe Rabbeinu, we see the influences of his life in the first parak, and then his conduct now, they demonstrate all the character traits that are fleshed out in the Medrash about the two sheep. And so here you have
becoming Netzach. Is this a source for them calling Moshe the man of Netzach?
Perhaps. All right. Now the story isn't over. Vayetze bayom hasheni. On the next day, Moshe goes out, and now we have Shnei Anashim Ivrim Nitzim. He sees two Jews fighting, and he says, "Rosh Hashanah Masakes Reyacha, why are you hitting your neighbor?" Now, he intervenes here, and this is significant. And the way I like to explain this pasuk is about the ADL and Jewish civil rights. So the ADL, at least up until recently, has been a Jewish civil rights organization. Now, if you were a non-Jewish company and you prevented a Jew from wearing a yarmulke or taking off for Shabbos, or you know, so the ADL would intervene and stick up for your Jewish civil rights. But if it was a Jewish company that didn't let you take off for Shabbos, I don't know how many landmark cases there were of the ADL sticking up for Jewish civil rights when it was a Jewish company that was all right. Now maybe they did, and I missed it. But the point of the matter is that sometimes it's very easy, not very easy, sometimes it's easier for Jews to stand up against injustice done by outsiders against us rather than to stand up against one against the other. You know, okay, it's another Jew, okay, you know, we're all mishpachol, and you know, everybody can figure out they're on their own. But the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu said, no, I'm going to apply the same level of justice when it's an anti-Semite on the outside or a Jew on the inside. I don't give special favoritism when it's a Jew on the inside. I have equal justice under the law, as it were. And just like it was wrong for the Mitzri to beat up on a Jew, it's wrong for a Jew to beat up on a Jew. It's the same level of justice. Yeah, go ahead.
Because he was both a Mitzri and a Yehudi at the same time.
And therefore?
So his, I guess, you know, that's why he had compassion for the Jewish person, but I guess he had compassion for the Mitzri and buried him. Maybe.
Okay, that's an interesting way to look at it. I'm not saying you're wrong, but I'm going to suggest a different way. My perspective is that despite the fact it says Moshe Rabbeinu went out El Echav, he went out to his brothers. So I think that he really identified, even though he was a Jew, but even though he was a Mitzri in the palace of Paro, but I think that the pasuk is hinting to us here that he knew who he was and he identified with Bnei Yisrael, and therefore it says Vayetze El Achav, he went out to his brothers. So I think the fact that he killed the Mitzri was not because he felt comfortable as a Mitzri, and he buried him not because he felt compassion as a member of the nation of Mitzrayim. No, I think that it's that despite the fact that he identified as a Jew, because of the fact that he identified as a Jew and he had these qualities, he buried the Mitzri despite the fact that he did not feel a kinship with the Mitzri. I'm not saying you're wrong, but that's how I see the pasuk.
No, I don't know if I'm right, but I don't necessarily. What I just said, but did he mean to kill the Mitzri?
It's a machlokas. It's a machlokas rishonim. But al peep shot, Al peep shot, he intended to kill him, and he killed him. Okay. And now, of course, the Jew retorts, like any good Jew who has just been, saved by another Jew, why are you butting in, right? Why are you butting into our situation here? And Moshe Rabbeinu should have said, didn't I just save your behind? Okay, the word's out, I gotta run away. Now we move into Vayishma Paro, and Paro hears about this. Vayivakesh laharogas Moshe, Vayivrach Moshe mipnei Paro, and Moshe runs away. Now we get to the third stage here. So if the first stage is all women all the time, chesed, the second stage is all men all the time, din, we get now to a third stage. Vayavo, and this, by the way, this insight of these three stages, I heard in the name of Rabbi David Silber. Vayavo, let's go back here. Yeah, okay. Ulechohe Midyan Sheva Manos. So now, Kohen Midyan has seven daughters, and they come out to give their animals, to their sheep, to drink at the well. Vayavo Aron Vayigarshum, and some other shepherds came, and they chased them away. Vayakam Moshe Vayoshian Vayashkva Estzonam. And Moshe gets up, Vayoshian, and he saves them. That word Moshia, right? He saves them. Vayashkets Estzonam. So here you have Pasuk 17. Moshe Rabbeinu displays here several important traits. Number one, this justice is different than the first two cases. In the first case, he was saving a Jew from a Gentile. In the second case, he's saving a Jew from another Jew. And in this third case, he's saving an entire stranger from a stranger. Moshe Rabbeinu's sense of justice is not just when somebody on the outside attempts to harm me or some member of my family. His sense of justice is equal when applied to outside the community, to inside the community. No special favors for a member of the community. And his sense of justice applies equally even if he doesn't know the person at all. Moshe Rabbeinu displays here a tremendous sense of din, of justice. Vayavo haron vayigarshum vayakam Moshe vayishon vayashkes tzonam. But it's not just din. Moshe Rabbeinu then bends down and he gives the sheep water to drink. He watered the flock. That's chesed. When Moshe Rabbeinu shows up to this third stage here of his life, he is synthesizing both chesed and din. Vatavona el Reuel, and by the way, and physical gvura as well, and alacrity and maisa and action. He doesn't just stand by. Vatavona Reuel avihem bayomer madu amiharten bayomahu by bohayom. They come home and Reuel says, "What are you doing? What are you here so early?" And they tell him the whole story. And what does Yisra respond? Lama ze azav den esayish. Yashrus, what did you leave the guy there for? Come, bring him in and let him eat. This is not chesed. This is din. Somebody does something right for you, you show your hakara satov. Vayol Moshe l'ashav es esayish. And Moshe consents to dwell with Yisro. But now Yisro, who's another influence on Moshe Rabbeinu, reinforces Moshe Rabbeinu not just din, but also chesed. And then he goes on and he has children and he builds a life together. And then ultimately, Moshe haya ro'et zon Yisro. And now Moshe Rabbeinu is ready to encounter Hashem. So this pasuk over here, where we started our shir today, Umoshe haya ro'et zon Yisro, and Moshe was a shepherd to Yisro, vayinhag es tzon achar hamidbar, and he led the sheep through the wilderness. This isn't just pshat. Moshe Rabbeinu was a humble man. That's true. But the Torah is emphasizing here the stuff about Moshe Rabbeinu and the sheep. And the Medrash says, what is the Torah, what is being hinted to here about Moshe Rabbeinu and the sheep? And there we have our two Midrashim. One Medrash about Chesed with a little bit of Gvura. Midrash about Din, about justice, with a little bit of Chesed. Both of them about action, both of them about Gvura, about personal strength, about personal fortitude. So Moshe Rabbeinu here is now ready to encounter Hashem. And this pasuk over here, according to the Medrash, the Medrash is not just fanciful spinnings, spinning yarns here. This is based on all the psukim that we read up until now. Din, Chesed, Gvura, Emes, Maisa, it all comes together here in Umoshe Hayaro Etzon, Vayinhag Esatzon Achar Hamidbar. So Moshe Rabbeinu apparently both had the influence of significant people in his, all the significant people in his life, either taught him about Chesed and Din, or they reinforced, in the case of Yisro, Chesed and Din, and it is now that those two traits have been fully realized or sufficiently built for in Moshe Rabbeinu that Hashem is ready to speak to him. So this isn't just about what Moshe Rabbeinu is as a leader, but clearly the Torah is pointing to us about what it is that we need to model ourselves after Moshe Rabbeinu. It's not good enough just to be people of Chesed, not good enough just to be Din, justice. You need a combination of both. Because the truth of the matter is that kindness without the structure of justice can peter out. And justice without kindness can be overly harsh. And Moshe Rabbeinu synthesizes that. And that is the encounter with Hashem. Hashem, after all, himself, that is what the Torah provides us. That is what Hashem provides us, a life in which we pursue chesed and din, chesed and justice, structure and, the structure and limitations of din and gvura, as well as the effervescent, flowing, unbridled, actions of chesed, breaking down boundaries between people. That is what the Torah is. It's a combination of chesed and din. It is breaking down boundaries to do kindness, but it is also a life of structure. So Moshe Rabbeinu is the Nosein HaTorah, Moshe Rabbeinu is the giver of the Torah. Hashem gives the Torah, but through Moshe Rabbeinu. And Moshe Rabbeinu is the perfect instrument to be the tool by which the Torah is provided to the Jewish people, because Moshe Rabbeinu beautifully synthesizes these two essential elements of Chesed and Din, which are the character traits of Hashem, as well as the ethos of the Torah itself. So Moshe Rabbeinu. This explains where we started these two midrashim, and I think it gives us a challenge to live our lives in a way that model themselves after Moshe Rabbeinu, and in doing so, I think that we can bring not only nachas to Moshe Rabbeinu and nachas to Hashem, but indeed to create personal lives, family lives, and community lives that are meaningful, purposeful, and authentic reflections of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us. Okay, with that, if anybody has any comments, questions, I'll take them now.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Thank you, Rabbi. Thank you, Rabbi
Yeshkov.
It was beautiful. God bless you.
Oh, Avi, nice to see you. Okay, your father should, indeed should have an aliyah. You know what? I'll give you another quick 30 seconds, a quick 30-second vort about Moshe Rabbeinu. All right, this is the Torah says that Yocheved put him in the Yor. Vatasem Bahayalit. She puts him in the Oren, and he goes in the Oren. So the Rav Zalman Sirotskin in his Oznaim Lutara says, why did Moshe Rabbeinu have to have this experience? God could have saved him, organized him being saved in many ways. He didn't have to come to Bas Paro through this going through the Or. So he says in the name of his mother, Rabbi Zalman Sirotskin says in the name of his mother, the following story. It says that they had, I don't know, an aunt, an uncle, a cousin, whatever it was, or I don't remember the family member, that was conscripted into the Russian army. But the conscription only lasted a few weeks, and he was let out. So his mother said, Rabbi Sirotskin's mother said, that this family member, again, I don't remember, brother, cousin, whatever it was, says, Gadol b'Yisrael, became a great rabbi in Israel. And in order to be a person who's a leader in Israel, you have to have compassion and empathy for what the people are going through. So if the people are going through forced conscription, and you had the experience, even if it was just for a short amount of time, you will be able to have greater compassion for the people in your role as a leader. So that's Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, even though he was a baby, and even though if it was a short period of time, he had to go through the experience in his life knowing that he was also saved from the Yaar. And thus, he could have greater compassion for Klal Yisrael, who were being thrown into the Yaar by the Mitzrim. And because he had it himself, it was inculcated with his own life experience. And when you have a life experience, and you have the eyes and the mind to be open to that life experience, then you can have greater compassion. So Moshe Rabbeinu, in addition to everything else we said, was able to have the eyes and the wisdom to take his life experience and put it into practice. Okay. So that's it. That's the bonus round. All right, guys, have a good day, and Mirtz Hashem, we'll see you in shul.
Thanks so much.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you. God bless you and your family.